You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Angels, we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the night, and the mountains in reply, echoing their brave delight.
I mean, that is magnificent music. And now I want to talk about slavery.
That for a an abrupt segment. Listen, when it comes to slavery, what does the Bible say about slavery? Well, it certainly doesn't condemn it as a sin. Jesus returned a slave to his master, and also there is a passage that reads, slaves, be obedient to your masters, masters, be good to your slaves. That being said, I'm not defending slavery whatsoever. I'm just giving you a biblical baseline.
But on the other hand, don't try to invoke Holy Scripture as supporting the typical liberal line that racism is derived from slavery and slavery is the greatest sin.
I wouldn't want my children to be enslaved. I would never enslave another human. Certainly slavery was bad, bad, bad for whites in America. Yeah, we're all slaves to the IRS. That's true. We're all in bondage now. But no, listen, I wouldn't want it to be done to me. I wouldn't do it to anyone else. But you got to understand.
On the other hand, think about this, James. Think about this. Another thing that is part of the liberal lexicon today is that homosexuality is just a personal choice. You know, some people like, you know, don't knock it till you tried it. Well, consult the Bible. And furthermore, consult the Holy Scripture of every major religion in the world, and you'll never hear homosexuality referenced with approval.
Well, why are we talking about this, slavery specifically? You know, it should go without saying that all races have been enslaved by others at one time throughout history, and all races have been perpetrators of slavery. Take that for what it is. Of course, the only people who are still condemned for it are whites, who will never be able to outlive the self-imposed guilt that minority racists are putting on us. But racism still exists today, or rather slavery still exists today. Slavery still exists today exclusively in non-white countries. Slavery still exists in the way you would imagine it, in the worst possible ways you would imagine it, but it's exclusively in non-white countries. But people aren't concerned about that. There's no one to shake down in these non-white countries, these sub-Saharan African countries, these Middle Eastern countries where slavery still exists. That's not sexy, that's not newsworthy. Well, anyway,
A weapon that you can use to batter down white people with. And that's the entire purpose of the whole dialogue about slavery, or the monologue, let me call it that. Because when Obama or Eric Holder said we need to have a conversation about race, they mean that we should endure their monologue about race, which says that white people and white people alone are responsible for slavery, and we were forever the bad guys and never the victims.
Why are we talking about this? Anderson Cooper, the homosexual television host Anderson Cooper, believe it or not, he once had an ancestor from Alabama. His great-grandfather, times four, was from Alabama. He used to be a slave owner. The slave killed him with a farm hoe. Now, when Anderson Cooper was being interviewed by minority racist Henry Louis Gates, you'll remember him from the infamous Obama Beer Summit.
The Harvard professor.
So-called Harvard professor. Those must not be very hard to attain anymore, professorships at Harvard, if he can be one. But he hosts a show on PBS for all of his troubles called Finding Your Roots, and he presented Anderson Cooper with this so-called dark history. And Anderson said he was happy that his ancestor was murdered by a black man. I guess some of us, you know, maybe would be happy if he'd have done it a little bit sooner. That way Anderson wouldn't have had to have lived with his white guilt. He could have been absolved of that if he had never existed, maybe. But let's listen to the clip here now. That's why we're talking about slavery. Here it is.
One of the most commonly used documents in our research, the federal census, revealed something that we've never seen in all our years of ancestry investigation. And it shocked us. Now, this is the 1860 wow. U.S. Census.
Holy crap.
Burwell Boykin, cause of death, killed by a Negro.
Boykin was murdered by a rebellious slave.
Wow.
Your ancestor was beaten to death with a farm hoe.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. This is incredible. I'm blown away.
You think he deserved it?
Yeah.
You do?
I have no doubt.
It's a horrible way to die, Anderson.
He had 12 slaves. I don't feel bad for him.
Okay.
Honestly, part of me thinks that's awesome.
But it is your blood ancestor.
Yeah, so I don't want to offend other relatives of mine.
I feel bad for the man who killed him, and I feel bad for the 11 other unnamed people who God only knows what happened to them.
The avenging slave who killed Anderson's fourth great-grandfather was hanged without a trial. Retribution for his bold act of rebellion. So you can see the slaves did rebel, but they rebelled in small ways.
Small ways.
Devastating personal consequences.
Yeah. I wish I knew more. I wish I knew the name of the slave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about how many people's names history just never remembers, mm-hmm. and who, people whose stories are never told.
Absolutely.
It's shameful, and I feel just a sense of shame over it. And at the same time, it's the history of this country.
The Civil War ancestors of our three guests are a cross-section of the American experience during the most pivotal time in our nation's history. With Ken Burns, we shared some unexpected things
Let's cut it right there, Sam, if we can. Because we're running out of time. Well, this, you know, what really needs to be beaten to death with a farm hoe is white pathology and white guilt. You know, again, all races have been victims of slavery. All races have perpetrated slavery. Only people like Anderson Cooper feel any guilt about it. But the way that this was framed, the slave that murdered his master, which probably he probably gave him a better life than he would have had in Western Africa in that day and age, if we're being honest. Did he deserve to be murdered? You know,
no mention of that whatsoever.
Anderson says, yes, this slave was righteous. He was bold. And when presented with the fact that his great-great-great-grandfather was murdered by a slave, he laughed. He said he deserved it. He doesn't feel bad. And, you know, it's awesome. He actually said it was awesome.
This is what you would expect from a homosexual liberal like Anderson Cooper. This shows you the type of pathology that passes for normality in the upside-down world we live in today. This is why we call this show The Political Cesspool.
Well, this is a shining example of the self-hatred that many whites have for themselves. Look no further, ladies and gentlemen. Again, as Pat Buchanan has said, we've heard the grievances. What about all the gratitude for all white people have done for themselves, for humanity, for civilization, for all of mankind, all of the races? No, the only thing whites are remembered for are being racist, being slave owners, and we're glad when they die, and they can't die fast enough, right, Anderson? We've got to take a break.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Fast tonight as it ever has, with the breaking news that we covered in the first half of the show with Sean Bergen live on the scene there. Veteran news, television news reporter Sean Bergen there in New York outside of the Bill de Blasio press conference, where two New York police officers were murdered execution style by a black man who apparently was motivated by the narrative put forth by the Obama administration and the media. We had an asset on the ground. They're reporting live, breaking news, exclusive coverage here on the Political Cesspool. We've worked in some Christmas songs, had a couple of laughs, and covered some other pressing stories that we've been tracking. Now, though, I'm going to turn the program over, at least for a couple of segments, to my good friend and co-host Winston Smith, who has another man who lives a life on the front lines doing great work on behalf of the truth. That is, of course, Mr. Daily Ken himself. Winston, take it away.
Thank you, James. Folks, a lot of things happening out there, and Stephanie was kind enough to fill me in on what James has been saying, and Ken Givitt and I were going to talk about the shooting in New York. I don't know what James has been saying. I'm sure it's worthy and very informative, but let's bring Ken on right away. Ken Givitt, my good friend. How are you these days, my friend?
I'm doing super. Excuse me, how are you doing? Seems like every time I'm on your show, I lose my voice. I don't know why that is, but it'll kick in here in just a second.
Well, so what's your sheer magnitude of the situation? I mean, you're on the political cesspool. You're on the most popular radio.
Oh my goodness!
World. You know, it's overwhelming. We understand that.
Yeah.
You know, or something like years ago, I had the opportunity to debate two governors, one a Republican and one a Democrat. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was nothing. I lost my voice. We were on C-SPAN. And nothing came out. But fortunately, it kicked back in. I can feel it kicking in now. So
if you're debating a Democrat and a Republican at the same time, if you say nothing, you're still saying more than they do.
Yeah.
All right. You've been very busy, haven't you?
Been very busy. Hey, I got some statistics for you. Regarding the shooting in New York City, this is something that apparently everybody has overlooked regarding the stop and search, which, by the way, that offends my libertarian sensitivities, but what works is what works, whether it offends us or not. But do you recall Winston, the mayor named David Dinkins, a liberal Democrat years ago back in the 90s?
Oh, we were talking about him earlier. Keith was referencing him earlier in relation to this story that's taking place in New York tonight. But yes, do continue.
Okay. Well, during his administration, there were 8,340 homicides, and that is before stop and search. But between 2010 and 2013, there were 1,796 homicides. So stop and search saved literally just over 6,500 lives. And the vast majority of those were black.
Well, that's understandable, since most murders are black on black in this country. That's not a surprising statistic at all.
The thing that's startling to me is what we're being sold is an abject lie. And you know, the guys were talking about this before we came on, is the false narrative, the false reality that we're being presented. But most people are under the impression the stop and search is racist. In reality, stop and search is saving. And it's not an exaggeration to say this. It is saving thousands of lives. If you go to my website and do a search term, Dinkins, D-I-N-K-I-N-S, it will pull up those statistics. And it's just incredible to me, guys, how the minds of the American mindset is being so easily manipulated. And Winston, break in if I start talking too long, because I tend to, once I get started, I don't know when it stops until somebody breaks in on me, but...
Oh, you keep going.
Okay. But I think the story that we're missing behind the story is this reality, and that is that the human mind tends to act out what it believes. For example, we know last week there were six terrorists who massacred 100 children in a Pakistani school. I mean, they shot these kids point blank in the head. And we ask ourselves, well, why did they do that? It's because they believed what they were doing was a moral equivalent. They thought it was the right thing to do. They were acting out what they believed. And we see these guys who are protesting. A lot of them are rioting, but they call them protesters around the country. Why are they doing that? Well, they're acting out a false reality. They're acting out something that they believe that is not true. And the reason this guy, I believe, from what I saw, I believe he was a Muslim or he had Muslim ties, that killed these two police officers earlier today in New York City. Why did he do that? Because he believed they were the bad guys. The multicultural media, or I could call them the mainstream Marxist media, is my preferred term, is they have convinced us that white cops are the bad guys. They have convinced us there's an epidemic of white cops shooting young black males. And he bought that. He believed that
Ken,
lie. Yep.
Do you believe that they... Now, I don't think everybody believes that cops are bad, that all cops are bad. But I think that the black mind is especially susceptible to manipulation in a in a situation like this, and it's a situation that for the likes of Al Sharpton and Obama and Holder, they've taken advantage of. And
sure they have.
This is the result of that. And I agree with you that people act out what they believe. Culture is just an extension of belief, specifically religious belief. But I don't think this is indicative of American society thinking as a whole. I think it's indicative of a very, very large segment of the black community in America. And I think they wanted
them
to believe this. They wanted to believe that all cops are bad. And that's why Obama, Holder, and Sharpton were able to cause this. They knew that blacks in America wanted to believe that all cops are bad or out to get them.
I read statistics last week or maybe the week before that I think it was 95% of white Americans believe that Darren Wilson was correct in shooting Michael Brown. The flip side of it is 96% of black Americans believe just the opposite. And what some people fail to realize, I know the folks on the show tonight have it dead on accurate, but a lot of Americans fail to realize that black people in this country are being exploited. They're being taken advantage of.
I
want
to start again. Stephanie says there's music playing, so we got to go to a break. Folks, stand by for more of the political cesspool. And we have Ken giving in on, and we'll see you in the show. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina is a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Once again, everybody, if we don't have the opportunity to say it again tonight, I want to wish everyone out there across the country and around the world that are listening to this program or that will listen to this show in the archives before Christmas and after, Merry Christmas to you from all of us, and God bless you. We're very happy and excited to have back with us tonight another true hero of our people, Ken Gividen, dailyken.com. Make it among your daily reads. Winston has set up this interview, and I'm glad that we are revisiting the big story of the night, sad and tragic story of more black violence. Apparently, this man, according to his social media postings, motivated to take action against police officers based upon his interpretation of the narrative, all cops are evil racists out to kill innocent blacks, being put forth by the establishment media, Obama's administration, the Justice Department, etc. So we're getting back on that. I'm going to toss it back over to Winston to round out this segment. But Ken, right before that last commercial break, if you can remember that far ago, it's been a few minutes, you were making a point about, I believe, black victimization.
Regarding in New York City, you're talking about?
Yes, I believe so.
Yep. Well, the point is that the stop and search policies of the Republican administrations in New York City, which, by the way, I never really cared for Bloomberg or Giuliani in particular, but stop and search has saved thousands of lives. And most of those lives are black. So when the liberals say stop and search is racist, I don't know how you could be more racist than killing black people. You know, unless you go to an abortion clinic, which is very frustrating. Mm. But I came across some other statistics this week that you guys might find interesting. That I had always assumed that a lot of white Americans had Indian ancestry. I don't know why. I just assume many, maybe even most, somewhere back in their history and their chromosomes was trace Indian ancestry. I just assumed that. But there was a study done by a group. I'm sorry? A study done by a group called 23andMe that was published in Cell Press. And it said of the nearly 200 million non-Hispanic white people living in America, that only 2.5% of us have Indian ancestry. And I was just blown away. Oh, the same study said that maybe 3% of people who identify as white Americans have 1% black ancestry. So the point of all of that is all this effort toward multiculturalism and the media trying to convince us that we're a melting pot. It's not working. We're not melting. we're staying pretty much segregated.
And, Ken?
Yes.
I have to say that that I did have my I did have my DNA checked. There are many ways of doing it. There are many agencies and organizations that will check your DNA and tell you your racial makeup. And I'm proud to say that mine came back pretty much as white as you can be. Even though I know for a fact that back in the middle 1700s, I do have at least one. One Aboriginal American ancestor, and the story of my family goes that an Indian girl had a child via a white man, and he did not act very white, and he abandoned them, but her people would not let her keep the child, so they wrapped him up in some blankets, put him on a wharf in coastal Virginia, and gave him the name. A white couple eventually found him and gave him the name Larkin Wharf. And raised him, but apparently that's all been wiped out of my background. So you know, it doesn't surprise me that most white people are indeed white. Miscegenation is the exception to white culture. This doesn't surprise me at all. But it does surprise you.
It totally blew me away. It just shocked me. I don't know where I got the idea, but I just assumed that there was a large number of white people who had at least 1% Indian ancestry. But another finding of that study is that the average black American is only 73% African. The other 27% in most cases is white. And so there seems to be something about white people that we like being white. I know it sounds racist to say that, and every time you even say the word white, they're going to call you racist, you know. But there's something that resonates about that. But there's another study that came along. It is said that of all the ethnic racial groups in the United States, the only group that sticks together that is not really integrated is the black community. The whites and Hispanics and East Asians, whatever, tend to get along together fairly well. And, you know, that's just a fact. I let it stay where it is. What does that mean? I don't know. But my guess is that there's an indication there that the rest of us like to stay away from violence. Now, I live in a community, I call it a natural Jim Crow community, because people who live in my neighborhood are white. I mean, we have a couple folks who are Koreans, good friends, and there's some black folks. I don't know them. But other than that, we're basically a Jim Crow community. But what bothers me is there are some white liberals in this community that are adamantly opposed to integration. And I'm wondering, if you have white privilege, why don't you move into a black housing project and redistribute your white privilege? What are you doing here? And so what we find is there is a certain hypocrisy about white liberals where, on the one hand, they say we're opposed to segregation, but then they segregate themselves. And they hide out in the safety and security of white neighborhoods while they pretend that black violence doesn't exist. And, you know, if I were a rich Hollywood producer, I think I would start a reality show in which you take liberal white families, put them in a black housing project, and the one that lasts the longest wins the show. That makes sense.
Well, Ken, I don't know how long they would last. I don't know what would force them out of the community quicker, just sheer fear or disgust or, you know, even death. I just don't know which would force them out quicker.
Well, I think it would be the violence. And, you know, James was speaking a little bit earlier. He was speaking to the fact that we need to face reality, that black violence is a very real thing, and we've got to address it. We can't just pretend it isn't there. We've got to join the conversation about race that he was talking about.
Ken, and
Well, listen, I hate to interrupt you of all people, Ken. We're coming up on another break, and in the next segment, if it was any other week, I would stretch this to the remainder of the show, but we've got to read the Christmas story with it being the last show before Christmas. But I want to make mention of this very quickly because you came on to further the discussion of the situation in New York and the black violence. It has been proven now that and Sean Bergen mentioned this earlier in his On the Scene live report from New York, but on this man's social media page, I guess it was Twitter, he wrote, "I'm putting wings on two pigs today. They take one of ours, let's take two of theirs. Hashtag shoot the police, hashtag Eric Gardner, hashtag Mike Brown. This may be my final post. I'm putting pigs in a blanket." You know, so I just want to know, Ken, you cover this. You're a great voice for decency and reality in the media with your website, dailyken.com. Will MSNBC and the others accept responsibility for whipping men like this into an anti-cop frenzy? I guess a yes or no we'll have to do because we're out of time. Your thoughts?
The answer is no. They're not going to do it.
Let's continue this. I feel so bad that we had to cut this off, but folks, be sure to check out dailyken.com. Winston, thank you for making it available and making Ken available tonight. Merry Christmas to you, brother. Let's continue this next weekend. I'll be in touch.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb.
see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite.
My all-time favorite Christmas song right there by the great Johnny Mathis. We saved the best for last, apparently, tonight in our regaling of you, the sounds of the season. Merry Christmas again, everybody. Last segment before Christmas. We'll be back with you next week for a very special year-in-review show, and it'll have to be very special to top what we've done tonight with Sean Bergen. I do want to, before we wrap up the show tonight, wish my wife, I certainly did it on the website, on her birthday, which was December the 16th, wish her a belated happy birthday here on live radio this evening. If anyone ever wanted to thank the person who is truly responsible for keeping the political cesspool on the air for all these years, then you should direct your praise towards her. One in a million. And for a decade, she has shared me with the honorable cause for which I advocate. And much more than simply offering moral support, she never fails to lend a helping hand during those countless hours spent stuffing envelopes and doing all the other tedious chores that must be administered to keep the political cesspool going. As I have said, God's hand was on our first meeting. I've told you the story before, but I love to tell it, so I'll tell it again very quickly. It was in the summer of 2001. The pastor of my church knocked on my door. I was driving a pickup truck at the time, and he asked if I'd be willing to help the church haul luggage to the location of its youth retreat. Now, I wasn't in the youth group because I was too old by then. I'm 6 years older than my wife, don't you know? But I happily agreed, and I showed up on time the next morning. And when I got there, he let me know that a couple of additional campers had signed up at the last minute, and that they didn't have enough space in the caravan of cars. So he asked me if I'd mind hauling two passengers along with the gear. And I said yes, of course, and a special providence would have it. One of them would be the girl who would later become my wife. And that's how we've met. You know, she's been a part of my life ever since. We met at church. And that's why we don't burn the church down. You know, we know that there are, you know, political correctness is infiltrating churches now. We know that, and we're going to hold them accountable for that. But listen, it is still the best place in the world for right-thinking people to find good, decent mates. You know, and since exiting my teenage years, you know, I have no memories that don't include my wife. We've experienced the ups and downs of life together every step of the way. During the early years of my marriage, this is something I'm also very proud of, second to having met her at church, which I am most proud of, she worked as a promotional model for some of the most well-known companies in America before taking what she considers to be the greatest promotion of all to become a full-time stay-at-home mom. But I got a picture of her on the website that I posted on December the 16th of her working for Pontiac in her Pontiac outfit doing a show. But I tell her often, if she hadn't been so gorgeous, if she hadn't been supermodel, drop-dead gorgeous, I would have still married her for the kind of mother that she turned out to be. She's truly a beautiful person and a beautiful woman inside and out. And just as quickly as I'll admit that I'm not always the most easy man to live with, I'll also admit that I'm the luckiest man alive. She has made me so. And so I honor her tonight on the first show after her birthday. She's still in her 20s. I'll be 35 next birthday. I guess if I told you a moment ago how the difference in our ages, you'll know how old she is. But anyway, you know, she goes with me. A lot of you have met her. She goes with me to just about all of my speaking engagements. Despite being 38 weeks pregnant, she was there with us for every minute of the anniversary event in Memphis in October. And I'm excited about that. You know, she also was with me when I ran for state representative in 2002. We were dating at the time. We weren't yet married. That was 2 years before I started the show and 4 years before we got married. But I said last night at Keith's Christmas party, or it was the political cesspool's Christmas party at Keith's house, just for local supporters of the show. But I said that I met a guy who was the campaign advisor for my opponent in that race. Well, I lost that race. You know, I got 20% of the vote. Now, that, you know, I lost in a landslide. I'm not trying to dress it up. But keep in mind, I was 21 years old. I turned 22 on the campaign trail in the summer of 2002. had no, you know, this was before I was, you know, I'm stretching the definition to say celebrity James Edwards, but this was before I was in radio. This was before I was well known to the extent that I am. I had no money, no support, and I was just full of urine and vinegar, and I wanted to go out and bonk some heads, you know. So I ran for office. I had worked for Pat Buchanan, but that was it. And this was 2 years after Pat's last presidential campaign. Anyway, so 22-year-old kid, I thought I was growing up then, little did I know, but running in a three-way race against the Speaker of the House, who was the incumbent Republican. Three-way race. I got almost 20% of the vote. I remember reading at the time that it was the highest percentage of vote that any independent in the history of the state of Tennessee had gotten running for a state House seat. Three-way race, almost 20% of the vote against an entrenched incumbent Republican who just so happened to be the Speaker of the House. Well, while on that campaign trail, you know, we got under his skin so much. This is a big news story. My father and my campaign manager caught the sitting incumbent going door to door, taking my brochures off of the homes of people's, off of the doors of people's homes. My dad nearly knocked him out, but was held back. I'm glad that that didn't happen because my dad would have gone to jail and this guy would have been the victim. But this was the sitting Republican incumbent going door to door, stealing my literature off of doors. Caught red-handed. It made big news here in the Mid-South. It was on all of the local affiliates. He admitted to doing it. Not only did he admit to doing it, my dad recorded him on tape admitting to it when he confronted him. And it was just a big story. But he still won. Not only did he win re-election, he got promoted. Do you know now, this is the truth, that man that defeated me in that race, that man who was stealing my literature, caught red-handed, dead to rights, is now, as we sit this evening, 5 days before Christmas, he is the Secretary of State for the state of Tennessee. He got a big promotion after winning that. He's been the Secretary of State for years and years now. Trey Hargett is his name. Well, anyway, that's just one story of quite a few I could tell. But my wife was with me for that, and I say all that to say this. She was with me. She's been with me before, during, and for many years to come. And so many of you have been with us as well. You know, for 10 years, some of you have been with us. Remember, folks, we do need your support to stay on the air. Don't let us stall. You know, that was I learned to fly airplanes in the year between failing in my bid for winning an election and starting the show. Don't let us stall. Contribute to the political cesspool before the end of the month and help us stay on the air and help us continue to grow and head into 2015 with a full head of steam. That being said, let us now reflect on the glory and the majesty of Christmas and the just a couple of minutes that we have left. Always remember that our work here, what we do this show for is to protect and preserve a culture and a faith that has given light to a dark world. It is our duty to ensure that this flame is never extinguished. That is why I do the political cesspool. Preserve a faith in a culture that has given light to a dark world. I'm going to defend that faith. They're going to defend those people, defend that culture. Here's the biblical accounting of the Christmas story, which I always like to read on the last show before Christmas. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Read that story. That is the Christmas story. Read it with your family. Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you next week when we do the special year-in-review show, looking back on the year that was, our 10th, here on the radio airwaves. I'm James Edwards. One more time, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.